correct spelling holds no apostrophe. It is not needed. This day is for all who have served. Look around you and see. There's a gentleman sitting down in the front in the second row who proudly wears a hat that says USMC. The woman with a t-shirt that says Navy. Your coworker whose son was in the Army. The pilot who just flew you in. His ring says Air Force. The car in the parking lot that says Coast Guard. Stop, ask, and thank them for their service. Not just today, but every day. To the veterans of the past, thank you. To the veterans of the present, thank you. Because of you, we will remember to say thank you to the veterans of the future. Veterans, I would ask you to stand right now so that we can acknowledge you. Veterans, would you please all stand? We say thank you because you served. And because you served, we remain free, a free nation. Thank you. All right. We'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord God, to be up here at this pulpit to minister to your people. I ask right now that the Holy Spirit rises up big within me, Lord God, to bring forth your word. For it is your word that we preach here at Eloquipa Christian Assembly. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that there's an anointing upon me to do just that this day, Lord God. So help me to articulate properly, Lord God, so that I can bring an understanding of this word to your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay. Open up to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Our Bible is the Word of God and contains God's thoughts. And of course, God's thoughts are way different than our thoughts. And we ought to be saying, praise God for that. I don't know about you, but I know my thought process sometimes. And we won't even go there. Okay, so you're in Isaiah chapter 55. Look to verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Thoughts are thinking. His thoughts, he thinks higher than you do. And the more we read and study God's word and get to know his thoughts, we can dare to think God's thoughts, especially after him, as we get our thinking in line with his word. As we have been looking at confession, we have learned that if our confession is wrong, it is because our believing is wrong. And if our believing is wrong, it is because our thinking is wrong. And if our thinking is wrong, it is because our mind has not been renewed by the Word of God. See, sometimes the teachings of God's Word may not seem reasonable, logical to you. That is because the mind has not been renewed to the Word. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And of course, we're going to look at verses 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." The literal Greek says, "Have the God kind of faith." Verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Verse 24, the Amplified Classic Edition, says, "For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is guaranteed to you, and you will get it." You can confidently then say, "It's mine. I have it." The greatest thing that will ever happen to us, the believer, is when we move out into this realm. And it's called the spiritual realm. See, we are more than physical entities. We possess a soul and spirit destined for eternity. And I say at funerals a lot of time, what eternity is it? Is it eternity with God and His love, or forever without God and His love? It's a choice we all make. Even though the spiritual realm is invisible to the physical eye, we are connected to it. And what goes on in the spiritual realm directly affects our physical realm. This world is affected by that spiritual realm. Don't you ever think that it is not. And someone sent me something this morning, and I felt it fit right into there. And they sent this to me. And this is Hebrews 11, okay? 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." The Amplified Classic Edition. When I got that and I read it, I said, wow. But it fit right in there. The intellect, the mind, and the physical senses, they're going to fight us every step of the way. They're going to keep us from entering into that spiritual realm. Because in the natural mind, if it's not been renewed by the Word, it will hold us in that natural realm. But as I said, there is a spiritual realm, and this is really the realm for the believers. And we are believers. Amen. So we can call those things that be not as though they were. We focus on the seen things because that is the way our natural mind has been trained. Same as when you training a child. Folks, make sure your kids are in church. Get that foundation. Get them trained. It's up to you as parents and grandparents and great grandparents. Praise God. That is why we need to get our minds renewed to the Word of God. And as our mind is renewed by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it will open up the eye of faith. We will be able to see the unseen things, as Paul said. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, Paul's talking about unseen principles. He's talking about the Word of God here. The principles of God's Word, which are really, actually they are. They're spiritual laws. There are spiritual forces that are unseen with the natural eyes. These are eternal forces which continually work. They don't take a break. They're 24/7, 7 days a week. And they always work when you set them in motion by our confession. And when we do, you will then see clearly the unseen things with the eye of the Spirit. Bob, remember when you and I and Dean were sitting there? I said, wow, that fits there. And that song goes, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. And the sun we're talking about is the S-O-N, the sun. The sun shines within you. You born again believers, He is in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that means your light's going to be shining, because He's going to be shining, dispelling the darkness that tries to come and loom over each and every one of us. Jesus. Hallelujah. The unseen things you don't see now with the physical eye, they are very real, folks. And they are shaped by God's Word and your confession of His Word. You change the seen with God's Word, and you shape the unseen by calling those things that be not as though they were. So the right and wrong confessions. When it comes to the matter of wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong confessions, ask yourself this question. Just what is a wrong confession? Wrong confession is a confession of defeat, failure, fear, and the supremacy of Satan. Talking about how the devil was hindering you and keeping you from success, about how he is holding you in bondage, and about how he is keeping you sick. That is a confession of defeat. And such a confession simply glorifies the devil. You want to give him a black eye? Let me give you an example. Someone was asked to sing for the teenager's dinner. And as soon as he got asked that, he said, yeah, he started practicing. Then he's come around going, my son is erect. Hold it. I'm saying, brother, you healed. And so what he needed to do was he needed to say and exercise his faith. He said, if I'm healed, he said, well, then if I'm healed, and I believe that, then I'm going to go and I'm going to climb up there and I'm going to sing. And sing he did. His voice was blessed. There wasn't a crackle, nothing. Did you hear him singing praise this morning? Not a crackle in his voice. But he put action behind his faith. in his statement when he confessed and said, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. He got up here and he did it. It's an example to you. It's an example to each and every one of us. When you don't think you could do something, you can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. Okay. Remember, confession is witnessing for a truth that we have embraced, testifying of something we know, and affirming something we believe. Amen, Timothy? Amen. And many times our confessions, rather than witnessing to what God's Word has to say about a situation, admit to our defeat and glorify the accuser rather than God. Many people lose the blessing that God has for them just by making a wrong confession. They find themselves defeated, and they find that life is nothing but a grind for them. So when you think about it, actually a wrong confession, that glorifies the devil, and it is unconsciously declaring that God is a failure, and God does not fail at anything. Such a confession destroys our faith and holds us in bondage. The confession of Satan's ability to hinder and keep us from success gives him dominion over us. We do not want to give him that dominion over us because we have been delivered from his dominion. Therefore, with your mouth, you are going to either give God dominion, or you are going to give Satan dominion. Right. Your lips. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Look down to verse 2. It says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. In other words, whether good or bad, your words dominate you. Our confession is a very vital part of our faith. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart, in your spirit, will absolutely defeat the enemy in every combat. And our combats are spiritual. And they affect our physical realm. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Do not be taken by the words of your mouth. Make your confessions his word, and they will produce freedom. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to look to verse 32, because Jesus said that the truth will set us free. And it says right there that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Turn to John 17. And look to verse 17. John 17, verse 17. Now, this is Jesus. Now, he's praying for his disciples here, and he's praying for the believers at that time. But he's also praying for the future believers. And guess what? We the future believers. So he's actually praying this over us. And he says right here, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So the word and truth are interchangeable items. This means that we could read John 8:38 this way. You shall know the word, and the word shall make you free. It is the word that makes us free. The word. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want you to look at verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look up to verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When you're reading that word, that's the flavor. That's the taste of those words. They are so sweet. They are so inviting. It's like getting a piece of creamy pecan pie. And when it goes in and hits your tongue and your palate, it just stays there. You don't want it to come out. You don't want you just sitting there. It's like the word. When you have the word on your lips and in your tongue, it's just so sweet, so beautiful. That's what it's like, folks. That's what it's like. And we know how God feels about his word. Look to Psalm 138. Verse 2, the psalmist says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Magnified. He magnified the word above all his name. Hebrews 4. Verse 12 says, the word of God is living and powerful. Amen. Living and powerful, folks. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. All right, here we're going to look at the story here, factual story, because everything in here is facts for us. It's a nobleman's son that gets healed. So look down at verse 46 there in John. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. You remember that? And when the servants brought the wine or brought the water in, that's what he did. They were obeying what he said to do. Just bring me, fill up the water pitchers and bring them in here. I'll take care of this. And there was a certain nobleman. That's a high-ranking official, folks. Carries a lot of weight, this nobleman. People wouldn't turn him down. They're expected to do things for somebody who's in the position he is, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard, like the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus, the synagogue ruler, they heard. And the word tells us that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They sought him. They were rewarded for their faith. This nobleman, he is seeking Jesus. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored. Implored? That means to beg someone desperately to do something. So he was begging Jesus. So he implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word. What did he believe?
The word.
That Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, wasn't even home yet, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. They all became believers that day. But Jesus said in verse 50 there, go your way, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. He totally trusted in the words that Jesus had spoken. No distazo, no diakono on this man's part at all. For what he had heard about Jesus gave him no reason to doubt him. When you hear Jesus' word on a situation, do you believe and go your way? The nobleman went his way, even though he had no evidence of his son's healing other than Jesus' words. We should react the same way on this word. We should react the same way on this word. The nobleman had no physical evidence of his son's healing until his servants told him that his son lives. Your son lives, they told him. He said, I heard that before, and I knew that, and I believed that. Well, a couple of things. He asked them a question. He says, what hour was it when my son began to get better? And they said it was what? The seventh hour. Yesterday. So that meant he stayed overnight. Wouldn't you think that someone, when they were told that, would want to rush back down to see what's happening? That tells me he had a total trust. His confidence was in the word. Is your confidence in this word? The word works. Work the word. Work the words by the confessions of your mouth. That's how you do it. But a couple things of importance here also. There's a point that I want to make is the man demonstrated that he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him because he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He went his way. The guy didn't say, well, you got to come with me. You got to come touch my son. No. Jesus said, your son lives. Go your way. He went his way. Faith is acting on one's knowledge of God's word. What does Hosea 4:6 say, folks? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of the word. And to get knowledge of the word, you have to read your Bible. And what also? Do not forsake the assemblings of yourself together. That means you come to church where the word is preached. And at this pulpit, from the men who started here 38 years ago, has taught us all, you give the people the word, the word, the word. And signs, wonders will follow the preaching of the word. He has taught us well. I can say he's taught me well in so many areas of my life. And I still look forward to making a phone call when I have a question and he can answer it. And if he doesn't have an answer right away, he says, I'll pray about it. But he gets back. Just because you don't see him up there every Sunday, he has an open line to God. Because that man can read your mail. He's read my mail many a times. He's read many of your mail many times. Well, another point is that the son's healing, it began to take place from the time Jesus spoke the word. The fever broke immediately. But the Bible says he began to get better from that hour. You hear what I just said? It began to get better. He continued to convalesce and become well. He wasn't healed instantly. Oh! What? You know, that's where a lot of us, you know, miss it. See, when it comes to healing, if we're not immediately 100% healed, we say, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. Why? Look what God did for him, and he won't do that for me. God is not a respecter of persons. What he did for Nikki, he'll do for you. Nikki's alive and well because he confessed the word. What he went through was hard, but he confessed the word. Many of you in here were going through something, and you confessed the word. The devil keeps beating you up, and he'll keep trying to tell you otherwise, but you keep speaking the word and confessing the word because his word is alive and powerful. The healing of this nobleman's son was not instantaneous. And it took place under the ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. Our Bible tells us that Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. Without measure. Fully tapped in. Yet this man's son was not instantly healed. The boy began to get better in the same hour. Jesus said to the man, your son lives. A lot of people turn the switch of faith off if there's not an instant, total manifestation of healing. But you need to know the truth about healing. The Word of God teaches us that a healing which takes place over a period of time is as miraculous because it says the healing of the nobleman's son was the second miracle Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. That's the second one he did there. He did several in between the two. But this is the second one. Because it says in John 4, verse 54, this was the second miraculous sign, miracle, that Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. Do you ever look on the map? Judea, and then you go way up here to Cana. And then way over here to Capernaum. A lot of traveling in between there. They didn't have mass transit like we do now. But what they did have back then was a lot of those people had faith. So we need to keep the switch of faith turned on. Because Jesus is still working miracles today. Still is. Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, today, today. This is today. What is this day? This is today. Today. So that means he's working miracles today. He will work a miracle for you today. If you will simply believe. And he's going to continually do it in the future. You run into something next week, he's not out of the miracle working business. He can do it again. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Every single time that hands are laid on you in faith by any believer, healing begins right then. Believers lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16:18. Okay? Jesus said it. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Just reminding you, it's the Word. The living and powerful Word of God. What you are supposed to be confessing with your mouth. That's a proper confession. That is a right confession. So many times, though, healing is not achieved because people turn the switch of faith off. It's turned off by doubt, unbelief, fear, the words of a wrong confession. I can't. Should be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the same way that you turn the light switch off and it causes the, or turn the light switch on and causes the power of electricity to go in and get to that light bulb and it illuminates and brightens up and lightens the whole room. The switch of faith keeps the power of God flowing. Turn the switch off, though, and the power stops flowing. And you shut it off by these words coming out of your lips, your confessions. Right and wrong confessions. Make the right confessions. And the right confessions are God's word. Over each and every circumstance, every situation, every problem, no matter what it is, speak the word over it. Well, I don't know what it is. Look it up. There's concordances in the back. It'll tell you. You're dealing with healing. If it's an emotional need, if it's a financial need, your Bible has the answer and the proper confession for each and every one of them. You pray over your finances when they come into your household and ask God to direct you in how and what you're supposed to do with the distribution of those finances, and he will guide you. Amen. You learn tithing, folks, and God will open up the windows of heaven for you. Amen. That you won't be able to contain the blessings that will just flow out to you. But you got to pray and seek his wisdom. Get the knowledge that he has in his word for you. and you will not be found lacking. No way. Learn what the Word promises you. Confess the promises and believe and act upon your knowledge of the truth. And the truth is the Word. Your continual confession of the Word will build your faith. Don't give up just because the natural looks like your faith isn't working. When you look at your physical body, when you look at that checkbook, don't. Don't give up. See, that's what the devil wants you to think. So that means if he's trying to plant that, then what we got to do? We got to turn it around and think with God's Word about that. We got to think about what His Word says about that. My God will supply all of my needs. When you're looking at it, that's what you say. You look at that check and what you're supposed to do, and say, He has supplied all of my needs. Lord God, show me what I'm to do with that. And when He shows you and you listen and hear Him, you have more than you ever need. You think you're going to come short? You can't come short, not with God. So don't be moved by how you feel. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Be moved by what you believe, and you believe the Word to be true. You've got to believe the Word, though, in your heart. And then you confess what you believe. You can't speak the Word out of your head and expect any type of results, because faith is of the heart. Realize that your words dominate you. Whether your words are filled with faith or doubt, they will make you a victor, or they will keep you captive. Learn to make your confession in line with the Word of God. Confess scriptures over and over that promise the things that you desire. Bert. She did. She has Stephanie and Jessica to prove it. The desires of her heart were met. When man told her no, she prayed and God said yes. And with those two, she's got two great son-in-laws, and she's got a handsome, smart little grandson. Yeah, and he's going to have great grandchildren too for you. But Bert confessed those scriptures over herself. People, we forget the testimonies that are right here in front of us. We put them over here. We should be looking at them. Those are examples to make sure that you're standing on the Word of God, that you're praying, you're confessing it. Psalm 37, we're winding on here. Psalm 37. All right, Kyle. Psalm 37. And we're going to look to verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 20, verse 4. May He grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. He will make your plans succeed. Maybe not in the way you think, because guess what? He thinks a lot differently than you think. But He knows the outcome that you're desiring. and he will get you there. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. See, he wants to give you the desires of your heart as you confess the scriptures that promise the things you desire. They will begin to register in the spirit. They will become real to you when they get into your spirit. That's where they become real. And when they become real, they'll change the natural realm that we're in. Your faith will rise to the level of your confession, and you'll experience victory over your circumstances because faith in God works. Your confession will bring possession. Amen, sir? Have the God kind of faith. Call those things that be not as though they were by confessing God's word. Amen? God bless all of you.